I want to get, let's go into the sermon. It's Come Home, that's the series, and this new thinking. I did point number one. I want to do point number two today. And the passage is Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 18. The PowerPoint's a lot better than what I sent. Okay, you guys made it better. Luke 15, verse 17 to 18. When he came to his senses, he said, this is the prodigal son, how many of my father's hired servant have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father. So what's happening? The son spent all the father's inheritance that he got. He was broken. He was shamed and lost. Here in this passage, the son decides to come home, go back home, right? And the Bible says he started to come back home when he came to his senses, okay? When he came to his senses. The son was going the wrong direction, away from the father, into deeper rebellion, towards poverty, towards destruction. And the Bible says, when he came to his senses, he picked himself up and headed back home. Now, coming to his senses, to me, is another word. There was a transformation that happened in his mind. Right? Instead of thinking old thoughts, right, there was a new thinking. Instead of thoughts of just sin and shame and rebellion, when he came to his senses, he were able to go back. Why? There was repentance, thinking of, you know, new thought, repentance, restoration, and new life. Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this: do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Okay, amen? So do not conform to the pattern of this world. Do not let your thoughts become stuck in the world. Don't have wrong belief system. This is what it's kind of is saying. Don't have wrong belief system. Don't let your mind be in bondage. And so what it means is that we will all face spiritual battle. But a lot of times, spiritual battle doesn't happen outside of us, but inside of us, in our mind. The territory of your mind is a battlefield. Okay, it's a battlefield. And the greatest spiritual battle happens in your mind. Okay? It happens in your mind. The Bible says, you know, in Revelations 12, the devil deceives the whole world. And Jesus says about the devil in John chapter 8, he warns us that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. He's a liar. Lies, it affects our mind. It happens in our mind, lies. Right? And because he's the father of lies, the greatest battle happens in your mind. Right? The demonic will plant a lie in your mind. And when we believe it and we agree with it, we give the lie power. And the Bible talks about how that lie becomes a foothold. Okay? And once there's a foothold, the enemy will continue to, you know, shoot that lie in the territory of your mind. Okay? And when you agree with it, and then you start acting on it. Once you agree with it, it becomes a foothold. And from the foothold, the devil will make you act on it, okay? And after a while, it becomes a stronghold. That lie becomes a stronghold in your mind, okay? This is when certain lies control you. It's a stronghold. It has power over you, okay? This lie influences you now. And so that's why in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 to 10, it says, God says, be alert and of sober minded. Okay? Sober minded. And this is in the context of spiritual warfare. Okay? And so it's saying, this is so important that you battle this spiritual attack that's happening in your mind. Be sober minded. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. Now, this spiritual battle that's happening in the mind is happening all around the world to all the believers. It's not just me. Right? This is a battle that will happen to all the disciples of Jesus. Right? And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, you're going to have to fight this battle. You can't run away from it. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. When it comes to spiritual battle, the Bible calls us to be alert, be sober-minded. We need to resist. We need to stand firm. And we got to fight this battle. We can't run away from it. Church, don't run away from it. And when we fight this spiritual battle in Christ, there's this promise, okay? There's this promise. We're going to suffer for a little while. You know, any battle, I mean, there's suffering. You know, you get punched spiritually. There's arrows getting stuck on you, okay? And you're getting shot at. But there's this promise. Don't run away from the spiritual battle. We'll suffer for a little while. But if you resist, stand firm, and fight this battle of the mind, there's this promise. There will be restoration. We'll be stronger. We'll be firm. And we'll be steadfast. Okay? We'll be steadfast. And the promise is when we don't give up, okay, with the battle of the mind. Okay? When we don't give up, we will be restored, made stronger, we will stand firm and steadfast. We will be victorious when it comes to spiritual battle. Okay? We will overcome. We will overcome. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 says this: Jesus called his 12 disciples to him and gave them authority to drive out impure spirits and to heal every disease and sickness. Okay. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples and equipped them to deal with spiritual battle. Jesus gave authority to his disciples to cast out demons and heal the sick. Meaning, okay, what does this mean? Jesus gave the 12 disciples the spiritual authority to overcome, to be victorious. Amen? Right? But those 12 disciples, they were special. You know, that's what. No. Look, if you go to Luke chapter 10, you can look at Luke chapter 10. Not just the 12, but Jesus appointed 72. Right? 72. And sent them out. And when they came back in Luke chapter 10, you can look at it, verse 17, they returned and told Jesus this: Lord, even the demons submitted to us in your name. In your name. And Jesus replied, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. I want to give you hope. You know, you see, the devil wants you to give up fighting the spiritual battle. But there's this hope, okay? And what's this hope? The authority that Jesus gives us. And this authority that Jesus gives to us, we could trample on snakes and scorpions, meaning any demonic attack, okay? Any demonic attack, and the demonic attack on our mind. And we will overcome all the, all. This is how much Jesus have confidence in this spiritual authority that he gives to us, overcome all the power of the enemy. Okay? All the power of the enemy. And so, you know, last week, point number one, free your mind from destructive thought. Point number two today, overcome the battle of the mind with right thoughts. Okay? Overcome the battle of the mind with right thoughts. So, first though, I want to encourage you not to give up. Okay? Not to give up. Especially the battle of the mind. But it's not easy. The battle of the mind can be relentless, sometimes continuous, and it feels overwhelming. So much that you don't know what to think, what to believe, and what to do. But we need to understand, okay? From the beginning in the garden, the devil came into the garden, attacked, lied, to steal, and to destroy. Okay? What I'm trying to say is there always have been spiritual battle from the beginning. Even in the garden, before the fall, okay? Even in the garden, you cannot run away from it. You can't hide from it. Okay? This is nothing new for disciples of Jesus. You're not the only one. Okay? You're not the only one. We're all in it. The spiritual battle. Okay? We're all in it. But as a believer in Jesus Christ, you cannot give up. You have to fight this battle. Not with one another. That's how the enemy makes us lose focus and stop fighting real spiritual battle. He makes us fight one another with each other. But we got to understand, we got to fight the spiritual battle, and it's worthwhile. Why? It is for freedom. It's for restoration. It's for new life. Right? It's for new life. It's for you, it's for your family, it's for your future generation, it's for this church, and for the world. We gotta fight this spiritual battle. You know what I found out? You know, we sent a lot of missionaries, you know. In my lifetime, I try to raise up missionaries and send them out, you know. And what happens, I thought just sending missionary out is enough. You know what? No. When they can't fight their own spiritual battle of their mind and they don't know how to be victorious, they're not going to fight the demonic power that's in Africa, that's in China, that's in South Asia. They can't overcome. Right? So if you have a heart for missions, there's countries that you cannot give up on the spiritual battle that you're going through. You can't give up. You have to fight and learn to overcome in Christ. And I said this over and over again. The devil's not that creative, okay? He will use the same temptation, the same lies to make you give up, to discourage you. The devil will come with the same lies, the same conflict, the same condemnation. Why? So that you will give up. My challenge to you, say no. Okay? No. Make up your mind today. Let's make up our mind together. I'm not going to give up. Okay? I'm more than a conqueror in Christ. I'm going to fight this battle. There will be change. There will be transformation. There will be freedom. There will be victory. Why? Because the devil lies to us, but Jesus never lies. He never lies. He says we will overcome. We have his authority. And to encourage you, okay, you heard this many, many times in this church, right? And this is, you heard this many times. God loves you. Okay? God loves you. Say that to your neighbor. Okay? If you want to be immune to discouragement, again, the devil used discouragement to stop you, to make you give up, you must constantly keep this truth in focus. Never forget that God loves you. Everything good in life flows out of the love of God. This is why love is the greatest commandment. Okay? And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and it says this, and now these three remain, right? Faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of this is love. Okay? I was thinking about this. I was thinking about faith and hope. You know, faith and hope is a great weapon against spiritual battle. It is. Faith and hope is a great weapon against spiritual battle. But the Bible says love is greater. Huh? The Bible says love is greater. Huh? And again, you heard this truth again and again, but you know, some will come up to me, but I don't feel it. Okay? But the question, okay, but you need to feel it. Okay? I'm not trying to promote emotionalism here. You need to feel it. God's love can't be just information, data, memory verse. Okay? It just can't be just information. You have to encounter the love of God. That's what I mean by you need to feel it. You need to encounter the love of God. What do I mean? Does the love of God touch you? Does it move you? Does it lift you up? Does it encourage you? Does it change you? Huh? That's what I mean by feel it. I'm not promoting emotionalism, but an encounter with the love of God. See, when you are under spiritual attack, it is God's love that will keep you going. I was thinking about this. Let's think about the family. With the child dedication, I said the greatest spiritual battle happens in the family. It does. It does. And when it comes to relationship, the greatest spiritual battle alone will be in your mind. But when in relationship, it happens in the family. And when family members don't feel love in the family, it doesn't touch them, it doesn't move them, it doesn't lift you up. They don't encounter, you know, your parents' love and your child's love and brother and sister love in the family. You don't encounter it. The lack of love in the family can become the greatest pain in the family, greatest rejection, discouragement, fear, and bitterness. What am I talking about? The lack of love in the family becomes the greatest spiritual battle in the family, the greatest bondage in the family. Why? Lacking love. It lacks love. And so, the lack of love in the family, enemy used to establish a stronghold in the family so that the family is the greatest stronghold in your life. But no matter how intense the spiritual battle in the family, where there is love, where there's God's love, there's victory. Okay? There's victory. And I just want to remind you, God loves you. God knows every mistake that you made. God knows every mistake you will make, right? Because he's all-knowing. Yet, he created you. Okay? He created you. He molded you and made you in his image and likeness. God knows every sin that you committed. And God knows every sin that you will commit. And he still loves you. Wow, what kind of love is this? There are those who've been a Christian for a long time. They don't feel the love of God because they think God is so critical of them, right? And it's just negative voice, negative. But the voice is not from God. That voice is not from God. That voice is coming from brokenness. That voice is coming from rejection. That voice is coming from abandonment. That voice is coming from neglect. That voice is coming from abuse. You need to understand, that's not the voice of God. Okay? That's a voice of brokenness. Stop listening to the voice of brokenness. We need to listen to God. You know, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17 to 19. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, okay, that you encounter the love of God. Not just, okay, that you encounter the love of God. Then what happened? May have power together with all the Lord's holy people. This is something that we all could do together to grasp. Now, okay? Not just to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know his love that surpasses knowledge, that surpasses just information about God. Just information about the love of God that surpasses knowledge. You got to surpass knowledge. Some of the most unloving people I ever met are biblical scholars. No, I'm serious. Some of the most unloving people I met because they did not surpass knowledge. The love of God needs to surpass knowledge that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God is love. And you and I can't imagine how much, how wide and how deep and long and high is the love of God. Our tiny brain can't hold and understand how much God loves you. You could go, what I mean is, you could go so much deeper, so much higher, so much wider. It says to grasp. Not look from distance. Ah, that's the love of God. No, grasp. Make it personal. Make it intimate. You got to grasp it. You know, most people, they can imagine, you know, imagine how they are stuck in life. That's all they think about. Worse, I'm stuck in life. And they get upset. I'm so stuck. Nobody helps me. It's all my parents' fault. I'm stuck because of them. Right? That's all they imagine, how they're stuck. Some, they just imagine how they will never change. Okay? They will never change. Some just imagine their childhood brokenness will never be healed. That they will just carry that brokenness for the rest of their life. Some just imagine, that's all they imagine, how their addiction and bondage will always have power over them. No. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this, we got to come back, not confident of brokenness, not confident of sin, not confident of addiction, but being confident of what Jesus did for us. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Huh? What I'm challenging, not imagine the brokenness only, imagine the bondage, imagine the shame. Imagine this great thing. Imagine God's love that so much that you're so confident that he is working in you right now. He will work in you tomorrow. And he will never stop working in you until he completes the work that he is doing in you. Okay, I told you, Jesus don't lie. That's what he said he would do. that he will work in you. What? Until, I know some of us are getting older. 11 years ago, I thought you were so young. When we first started this church. But we're all getting kind of old. Can you imagine? Okay? This promise. He's going to complete the work that he is doing in you. Can you imagine, because of the work of Jesus on the cross, that you are forgiven? You're completely forgiven. You don't have to carry that shame one more day. You are completely forgiven. You know, we're naked, spiritually naked. There's so much shame. We carry so much shame. We're filled with so much shame. Right? And can you imagine? Jesus paid the price. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. Jesus redeemed us. Jesus bought us back. We could come home. Okay? We could come home. Moses, he failed, right? And he carried that failure in his heart. He lost everything. There was insecurity. I believe he was depressed. And God comes to him and tells him, can you imagine this with me, Moses? I want to do great things through you. I want to imagine this with me. This is God. And he comes in burning bush. Come on, let's imagine together. I'm going to send you to Egypt and you're going to set my people free. Moses couldn't imagine that. You know what he said? Send someone else. Send someone else. But there's Isaiah. You know, God shows himself too, you know. And God shows his holiness. And Isaiah sees his sin. When Moses came to the burning bush, he saw his brokenness, failure. Okay? And Isaiah sees his sin. He says, woe is me, I am ruined. All my sins are exposed. And God comes to him and tells him, I want to do great things through you. Okay? What Moses, he couldn't imagine, please send somebody else. Isaiah, yes, he felt the shame. Okay? He saw his sin. But God challenges him, I want to do great things through you. Whom shall I send? And Isaiah was able to imagine great things with God. He says, here am I. Send me. Okay. Here am I. Send me. The prodigal son, he wasted his father's fortune. He spent all his money on prostitutes. And the son repents and turns back to his father. Humanly, only thing he could imagine is, when I get back to my father's home, I'll just be a higher servant. That's the most he could imagine. I'll just be a higher servant. Son couldn't imagine that the father was waiting for him. The son, as he went further, the son couldn't imagine because he saw the father running to him. He could never imagine when he met the father hugging him. And kissing him and wouldn't stop kissing him. The son couldn't imagine. The father didn't even mention how he wasted all the money on sinful living. The son couldn't imagine. The father put the best robe on him, a ring on his finger, a sandal on his feet, and killed a fattened calf and had a big celebration. This is the good news. We as sons and daughters of God, we're called to imagine it. And God's people said, let's worship the Lord.